Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. It's 1 Samuel chapter 2. Read you a verse here. Verse 30. It says, "Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your fathers would walk before me forever. But now, says the Lord, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Holy Spirit, help me. Cause me to say the things that Father wants to say to us today. And we give you all the credit for it, for all the good that happens. He says, those that honor me, I'll honor. Those that don't honor me, I won't think much about them. Interesting story. I'm not going to go into the story. I've talked about that before and how that the priest is, they had begun to take the things of God for granted, and the priest's sons were taking offerings and cheating people and doing all kinds of things. But Eli didn't correct them. He didn't stand for the principles of God. And because of that, God took that place that he had. They were to be the priest of God's people forever. And he took that away from them because they weren't showing him honor anymore. Those that honor me, or I guess we could say those that value me. Now just stay with me a few minutes here. It's the Holy Spirit's amazing. I say on about Thursday or Friday, I'm going, "Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say." And by Sunday, I got so much to say, I can't say it in 3 days, you know. And that's just the way He is. And so I just want to talk a little bit today, and maybe we'll talk about this for a week or two. I don't know. But he says, "Those that honor me, or those who you could say those who value me, those who I'm important to, honor, one whose worth brings respect or fame." You think one whose worth brings respect or fame. So I guess, are we asking today, is God worth it? I mean, does He deserve that respect? Does He deserve that? And I know everybody loves the Lord. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love the Lord. But I wonder if sometimes we don't take some things of God for granted. It's not that we do it on purpose. We just don't think about it. Now, if anybody gets bothered today, just realize I'm preaching to Hank today, okay? I'm just preaching to myself. And if you can grab any of it for you, just grab a hold and jump on and we'll take a little ride. But those who honor me, those who I'm worth it to, those who value me, those who respect me, those who, you know, those who I'm important to. And so I guess God could be saying here, if you honor me, I'll honor you. But when you take me for granted, I'm not going to pay much attention to you. Now the good news is that God's already honored us. Good news is we're under the new covenant, not the old covenant, when He said this to Eli. And so I don't want us to approach this today out of us trying to do something to earn His honor, to earn His respect, to earn His favor. I don't want us to be doing that because, see, we can't do anything to earn it. It's already been given to us free. He was made sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. Can I tell you something today? You're in right standing with God if you receive it, if you accept it. Okay? So I don't want us, I'm not trying to get us to approach and tell us how we're bad. And we all know we got some bad. How many know you got some bad? You don't have to be telling yourself, but we all know we got some bad. And God knows we all got some bad, and that's why He sent good, so that He could take care of our bad. And now I can trade all my bad for all His good. And His name's Jesus. Isn't that good? But anyway, so He says, you know, I believe God's saying to the church today, don't take me for granted. Am I worth something to you? Am I valuable to you? Will you honor me? Will you honor the things of God? Just ask yourself the question, do you value the Word of God? Now, we all say yes, but I mean, is the Word of God... See, if I value it, then it holds a place in my life that's important. You with me? And so I've just asked, you know, do we value the Word? Do we value the church that we have? You see, if I value the Word, then I'm going to give the Word first place in my life. I'm going to believe what the Word says before I believe what my flesh says and what everything around me says. And I'm going to believe the Word before I believe what I think. And I'm going to believe the Word because I'm going to believe that God, what God said, is the absolute truth. You with me? Appreciate your enthusiasm today. Do you value the church? You know, now I'm not saying just because we have a nice building and just a church for the sake of being a church. But if a church is going to be really a church, then their purpose and their mission ought to be to reach people. And then once those people are reached, then we teach faith, and we learn faith in God, and we grow. Right? And so, do you value the Word? Do I value the Word? That if I value it, I spend time with it. I spend time in it. I spend time praying about it. I spend time reading it. Okay, and if I value things, then they must have a place of importance in my mind. Do you value the church? I mean, is it worth it? Is it, you know, I mean, and I appreciate, you know, you don't have to come here. There's churches everywhere. But, you know, I believe it's important that we go where God tells us to go and that we do what He tells us to do. And do you appreciate being able to be a part of something that's trying to touch people's lives? You know, if you're part of this church, and if you're a giver, and you're part of this church, and you love this church, you know those four people that got saved last night? You know all of heaven is rejoicing over you because they got saved? And whoever it is today here that gets saved, that's not saved now, and you get saved before you leave, I'm just telling you because that's why you came. Huh? If you don't know you're saved, I want you to know before you walk out of here, okay? But... understand what I'm saying. Worth. Is it worth something to you? Huh? Is it? I saw a wedding last night and I saw so much effort that went into this wedding and so much, man, I mean, and you could see it paid off, man. I mean, it was beautiful. It was extraordinary. It was different than any wedding I'd ever saw before. But it was that way because people invested themselves in that. They thought that couple was worth it. Do you think the things of God are important? If we think the things of God are important, then we'll invest ourselves in them. Does that make sense? And so that's why I invest myself in the church, in this church, not because, you know, not because I'm the pastor and I want everybody to think we got a good church. No, I'm investing myself because I'm investing in the kingdom. I'm investing myself. I invest my funds. I invest, you know, to me, what God's doing is the most important thing in the world. Everything else is extra. He makes sure I got plenty of extra, extra time, extra money, extra effort, extra thing. I mean, he always, you can't outgive him. If you honor me, if you value me. And do we honor and value each other? Huh? You see, because I've learned that every one of you, everyone I meet, and I try to, and some of you, I didn't get a hug this morning, so be sure to get one after service, okay? Or at least a handshake. If you're not a hugger yet, at least give me a handshake. But everybody I meet, I think they're worth something. Because Jesus gave his life for them. And some people I meet aren't so lovely, but they're still worth something. So it's worth my time and effort for me to try to invest myself in them. Does that make sense? How important are the things of God to you? Matthew 13, 45, 44 through 46, Jesus said this. He said again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid it, and for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Whew. That phrase, all that he has. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, this isn't a, well, I guess this is a give it all sermon, I guess. Because I want you to understand what he's saying here. He's saying, if I'm worth it, will you give me your all? The kingdom of God, if it's worth it, will you dedicate everything? How many know it's easy for us to say, hey, everything I have is yours, Lord? And you say, well, okay, why don't you put some of that savings account in the offering? Well, Lord, but you know that everything I have is yours, Lord. Well, okay, then why don't you go over and visit so-and-so because they're having a hard time and they need it. Well, but God, you know, I'm just not good around people. Got the message, right? But he says, if this is really worth it, just like this guy with the field, just like this guy with the pearl, if it's really worth it, it doesn't matter what it is. I want this. I want you. You see, the kingdom of God is a state or order of things in which God is king and his will is supreme and sovereign in our life. The kingdom of God. That's why we talked last week about the narrow gate. I'm going to talk a little bit here today about a parable, but understand what I'm saying. The kingdom of God is when I surrender my heart and I make him the Lord of my life. That's the Lord of every area of my life. How many know you don't just get that done in a blanket statement? How many know it takes a lifetime for that to happen in our lives? Because every time I think I'm giving him everything, he says, well, yeah, but what about this? What about this attitude? What about this time over here? What about this? How come you did this instead of spending time with me? Oh. Now, I'm just talking about me. I know I'm not talking about any of you. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my words. He looked at a group once and said, you say you love me. If you say you love me and you don't do the things that I say, you're a liar. And the truth isn't in you. And I kind of believe, I kind of hear that a little different way. Because I'm not talking to people that that aren't living for God or aren't trying to live for God. I'm talking to people that want more of God, right? 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 But I believe he's saying, hey, if you say you love me and you don't and you're not doing what I said to do, you're tricking yourself. You're deceiving yourself. You're not being honest with yourself. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Huh? How about you? But he says, commit to me. I love what Proverbs 16 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Or you commit what you do to the Lord and your plans will be established. He'll be in everything you do. Psalms 37 says, commit everything you do to the Lord, trust in Him and He will act. In other words, He will help you, He will do it, He will bring it to pass, He will act on your behalf. Whew, I like that. Huh? I need God acting on my behalf, don't you? I love 2 Chronicles and I read it a lot, but he says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts, the King James says, perfect towards him. One translation says, loyal to him. Some other translations say, whose hearts are fully committed to him, whose hearts are completely his, whose hearts are perfect towards him, whose hearts are devoted to him, whose hearts trust him. Huh? I guess that's about the biggest thing is, do I trust him? Huh? Do I trust him enough to serve him anyway? Do I trust him enough, Chris, to keep loving him no matter what's going on in my life? Do I trust him enough to just know, hey, man, it might not look good, it might not feel good, it might not smell good, but I know it's good. Somewhere it's good, and I'm going to stay right in here till I find the good. Huh? Been a good time for the pony joke. I'm saving that for another message. Let me read you something out of Matthew 19. Have I got time? Yeah, I got time. It's a story of a rich young ruler. It's also in Mark chapter 10. I'm going to use a little bit of both of those, but sometimes if you'll study different accounts, you get a fuller picture of what, you know, if Chris and I are somewhere and we see something, and then when we start telling the story, he's going to tell the story a little different than I tell it because he saw things a little different than I saw it. You get that? Okay. Call perception and whatever. But anyway, let me just read this. Now, behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, he's talking about heaven here, but he's also talking about life here. He's talking about a richer, deeper life. He's talking about a fuller life. He's talking about what Jesus said, I came so you could have life and have it more abundantly. You see, this man saw something in Jesus. He saw something in the disciples. He saw something different, and he says, I want some of that. And Jesus says to him, well, why do you call me good? No one's good but God. Well, you know, okay, now we're having a debate over divinity here. Because he's coming up and saying, yeah, I know you're a good guy. And Jesus says, oh, no, hold it. Said, if I'm a good guy, then, you know, nothing good's but God. And so what Jesus is trying to bring him to a point where he realized, hold it, no, I'm not just a good teacher. I'm not just like one of the other prophets. I'm somebody God has sent take care of you, to help you. You got it? He said, no one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Enter into life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. You need last week's message. Narrow is the way that leads to life. He says, keep the commandments. And so the guy goes, well, which one? And so I believe Jesus names all the commandments. He lists them all. And it says, then this young man says to him, he says, well, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Do you see what he's saying? Now, the reason the guy was a rich young ruler was because he had tried to live for God. He had tried to do that. Now the funny thing is we know he didn't keep all those because nobody could keep all those. But he thought he was keeping them. He was trying. And he said, I've been doing everything that I know to do, but I still lack. See, you can be serving God and you can be all wrapped up in performance and you can be all wrapped up in the things in your life and getting all these things right so God will like me. You can get all wrapped in that and still feel like you come up short. Because what Jesus is telling him here is how to enter into life. How to come into this thing with Him. Disciples said, that's all good, I'm doing all that, but I still want what you guys got. There's something different about you. Does that make sense? Is it okay if we talk here for a second or two? Y'all won't go to sleep? Watch the person next to you. If you see them nodding off, punch them a little bit. Say, hang in here, it's going to get better. Anyway, let's move on with this. And Jesus said to him, okay, if you want to be perfect, okay, what you're after, listen to this. He said, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. Now in Mark 10, he says, and pick up your cross and follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now listen. The young man responded differently. But he responds like we do sometimes. Oh, that's just too big, God. This is too big a deal. First off, you know that he's talking about money here just because that's what had the guy? Huh? He's talking about wealth and riches here because that's what had the place in his heart that Jesus is supposed to have. So when you get that area taken care of, the Holy Spirit will probably show you another area that's reserved for Jesus that you got something else put there. Help me, Holy Spirit. The wrong response was he went away sorrowful. How come every time we feel like we fall short, we go away? Huh? How come every time something rubs us wrong, we go away? Every time we find ourselves in a predicament or a situation and God's trying to teach us something, we don't stay and learn the lesson, we go away. God doesn't want us to go away. He wants us to come to Him. He's not telling us things to beat us up and drive us away. He's telling us stuff so we can enter into life. So we can come closer to Him. What the young man should have said was, whoa, Lord, that's way out of my pay grade. Whoa, Lord, wait a minute. That sounds good, but I got lots of stuff and I don't know how to. You need to. What was it Ricky Ricardo used to say? You got some splaining to do. Some of you going, who's Ricky Ricardo? You got some splaining to do, Lucy. What he should have said was, Lord, I don't know how to take care of this. I want to. But I don't know how. Will you help me? Why is the Holy Spirit here? One of the reasons is to lead us and guide us into all truth. He's not trying to spank you and run you away. He's trying to pull you in. That's why God puts you at a certain place, under certain minister, so in a certain place, so that He can then deal with some things in our life. But every time stuff gets roughy and we don't feel good, I'm going to go someplace where I can be used. I'm going to go someplace where they tell me things I want to hear because my ears are itching. Help me, Holy Spirit. See, I'm learning. I hadn't learned it yet, but I'm learning. When God's dealing with me about something, I go, you know, Lord, I recognize that you, and I also recognize I don't want to do that. Oh, I wouldn't talk to God that way. Well, you might as well talk to Him that way. That's the way your heart is, and that's the way your attitude is. You might as well get honest with Him. Don't trick yourself. He already knows more about you than you know about you, and He'll teach you if you'll let Him. And so this is what I do. I go, God, I just don't know. I can't give that much. I can't do that. No, I can't spend that much time. I know that's you, but I don't know how to do that. But I'm going to tell you this, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. So will you help me move that direction? Does that make sense? Huh? Now, there's been a lot of times when I told Him that, I said, now, Lord, be gentle with me. Because you know I break easy. Be honest with Him. He knows what's in you, and He knows what your life's all about. He knows what's got you in the place you're in, and He wants to fix you. It's nobody else's business but yours and His. Somebody else comes trying to fix you, so hey, go mind your own business. Me and God are working on this one. Huh? But make sure you're really working on it. Huh? See, I don't have time to judge you. And think of why you're in that shape and why. All I got time to do, man, is work on fixing Hank and tell you good things that'll build you up and edify you so you'll want to get closer to God. Huh? Well, so anyway, He went away. Don't go away. Don't run away. Run to Him. Run to Him. Man, He knows you're messed up. One time, Brother Mac preached on tithing, and there was a guy, he'd been going to church here for a long time, and he didn't tithe, and Brother Mac preached on tithing, and man, he got all upset, and he was quitting the church. Now, nobody knew this but one or two people, but there's a guy here named George Lett. And George Lett knew that this guy was bothered and he was going to quit. And George Lett went to him and said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, he's teaching about tithing and I just don't believe in that. I just can't do that." And he said, "Well, hold it, don't quit." He said, "Why don't you?" He said, "Can you give a dollar?" And the guy said, "Well, yes, I can give a dollar." He said, "Well, why don't you give a dollar and pray over it and ask God to teach you and ask Him to show you? And see what happens." And the guy did that, and he prayed. And the next week, God told him, said, next week, it felt so good. The next week, he felt like giving $2. Are you with me? A little bit down the line, a few months or whatever down the line, this man decided that God was so good and was blessing him so much, he had to tithe. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to talk you into tithing. That's your business. He died not many years after that. And he was real glad he started tithing. Huh? Because he had treasure waiting for him there. Huh? But understand what I'm saying? When it's something, nothing God tells me to do is easy. And not very many things. If He tells me something and I want to do it, that means I'm too comfortable and that's not really what He's after. Huh? I hate these kind of messages, don't you? So anyway, let me take five more minutes and cover some more of this. We're going to have to do this some more, I can tell. I can tell by the look on your face. God's been telling me to do this, to talk about this for 2 months, and I've been, well, I don't want to, God. I don't want, you know, because he was in the course of me telling you this stuff, he's telling me stuff to do, and I'm going, well, You don't ever do that, I know, just me, but that's all right. Anyway, it goes on here, the guy went away because he had great possessions. And Jesus looked at him and said, assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Whew. Now, how many know we've made whole denominations after out of that verse? And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to catch the response of the disciples here. It says, and when his disciples heard it, they were greatly amazed, saying, well, then who can be saved? Are you getting this? They must have had something. Jesus must not have been teaching them you got to be poor and broke all the time. He must have been teaching them something about abundant life. Because when they start talking, when he starts talking about being rich, it's hard to get in the kingdom of God. You understand he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about entering in this place with God where we're going after his heart, where we want everything he wants, this place of commitment, where everything in our life we're trying to honor him. And they go, if that's the case, we're all doomed. Why? Well, because they must have all had plenty. I mean, Peter was, some of them guys were commercial fishermen. Huh? They didn't eat all them fish. They sold them. Come on, smile. Get that wrinkle out of your forehead. I'm going to stay longer if you don't. Listen to this. He said it's hard because, not because of riches, it's hard because, I mean, no, it's easy for riches to take a place in your heart that Jesus is reserved for Jesus. I remember when I was first learning this, when Pam and I had been married about, 6 months maybe, and we lived in a little three-room house and thought it was a mansion, but we were in love. We were in love, man. Didn't make any difference. And we had saved, and we'd managed to save up $500 in a savings account, man. And I was so proud of that. I mean, I was just, you know, and I'm a family man, boy. And some lady had a need, and God said, go give her that $500. And I said, oh, no, Lord, that's all I got. I had been praying, we had them Reader's Digest things, and I had been praying, Lord, I'm going to win this $100,000 thing, and I'm going to give it all to the church. And then I got really spiritual after about a week. I said, I'm going to give it to the church, and I'm not even going to tell anybody I did it. And then I started devising secret ways that I was going to put it in so nobody would know I'd get it, or that I did it. And I was going, oh, man, and man, I'm just puffing up. I'm going, boo, and I just knew I was going to win that thing. I just knew it. And then this lady's got this need. And God says, give her. He says, help her. I said, I don't got no money. He said, you got that $500 in a savings account? Give it to her. I said, oh, no, God, that's all I got. Right before that, he said, are you really going to give me that $100,000? Oh, yes, God, I'm going to give it to you. He said, well, then go give that lady that $500. Oh, no! Oh. But I didn't run away. I let him teach me how to do it. You hearing me? He said, it's hard. It's hard to enter into the kingdom of God. It's hard to enter in this life with God, this place that God wants us to be, when something else has your heart, has that place in your heart that's reserved for Jesus. And we find out by the end of the road here that every part of our heart is reserved for Jesus. Well, I give you my whole heart. You really mean that, Hank? Oh, I'll give you my whole heart, Lord. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. So it's hard to go through the eye, harder for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. And the disciples freaked out. Now you understand, I know most of you have heard this story, but since I got the mic, I'm going to tell it again. But the eye of the needle was a hole in the big gates, and at night they shut the gates on the city. And so you wanted to get there before they shut the gates, because if you got there later, you wanted to be inside the city, because if you were outside the city, there was robbers and thieves and danger and all that kind of stuff. So you wanted to be in the safety of the city. But if you got there and they'd already shut the gates, you had to enter the eye of a needle. You had to go through, they called this doorway the eye of a needle. Now the thing was, if you had a camel and he was loaded down, you had to unload everything off your camel. You had to carry it through the eye of the needle. You had to go then get your camel, get him down on his knees, get him through that doorway, and then when you got on the other side, then you had to load everything back on your camel. You see the difficulty? He said, it's hard. It's hard. I got tired just telling the story. Sometimes we've got to go through life, and he says, you got to unpack everything off your camel. Huh? You got to unpack it if you want me. Take everything off your camel. Make me first place in your life. Man, I don't like this. I got to go through the rest of this quicker. And Peter answered to him and said, Lord, haven't we? Jesus said, well, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Peter said to him, Lord, haven't we left everything and followed you? Therefore, what do we have? What should we have? And Jesus said this. He said, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And I always read that, well, that's good, but that kind of leaves me out. Huh? But then he goes on and he says, and everyone else who has left houses or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Now listen to me. Because if you just read that verse, the indication is, we're going to have that 100-fold when we get to heaven. We're going to have all those blessings when we get to heaven. But folks, you don't need that when you get to heaven. It's down here when you need that 100-fold. Heaven's going to be, I've never been there, but I hear it's a fabulous place. And I'm making my mind up to go because I want to see it for myself. Huh? Let me read you how Mark said it. Mark said it, recorded this way. Jesus said it. He said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Everybody say, now in this time. Houses, we receive 100-fold. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, land, with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now get it. In other words, you know, what he's saying is you can't give up anything for me, but what I don't give you more back than you had. It's impossible for you. This ought to be encouraging. Because you see, when that guy took all the stuff off that camel and got through that eye of the needle and he put it back, put all that stuff back, but you know, he'd been traveling a long time and all this stuff had gotten all out of order and fallen off, and he's picking stuff up and kind of sticking it back in places. And how many think maybe when he put it back on, he put it in a better order? You see, sometimes God has you give up something and put Him first so then He can bring that back to you, only He can give it to you in the right order. See, God likes you to have stuff. He just doesn't like stuff to have you. That makes sense? So now the disciples get all excited again. This is my point, and I'll quit. Well, this is one of my points for today. To honor God means I try to make Him first place in all my life. To honor Him means I believe Him and I trust Him so much that I want what He wants above what I want. And in the course of me wanting what He wants more than what I want, He gets so excited, He looks back and he just says, well, Hank, I want you to have a bunch of stuff too. You know, my little boy that's with Jesus now, he was about 18 when he went to be with Jesus, and he used to come sit on my lap and he'd say, Daddy, I love you. I'd go, what do you want? How much you need? He'd say, no, Daddy, I don't want anything. I just love you. How many know after a little while like that? Man, you want my shirt, you want my, here's my billfold, man, take my charge card, go. I mean, here, go. If we know how to give good things to our children, being natural, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to give good things to us? That's in your Bible. The point I'm trying to get is God's not after what you got. He's after giving you what He's got. Huh? He doesn't want you to be broke. But He doesn't want you to be miserable. He doesn't want you to be heartbroken. He doesn't want you to be, your life to be devastated. He doesn't want you to be in some of those situations that you're finding yourself in now. And He says, if you'll just pick up your cross and follow me, if you'll trust me enough, if you'll value me enough, if you'll honor me enough, if you'll just pick up your cross and follow me, just come after me, I'm going to fix that stuff in your life. Isn't He wonderful? I told you this before, I got a friend down in Branson. Every time I call him, he says, isn't Jesus wonderful? If he texts me, that's the first thing he says. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Well, I'm standing here today to tell you, yes, Jesus is wonderful. And so I'm not asking that you give everything today. I'm not asking that you commit everything today. I'm not asking that you... I'm not going to pray some prayer with you so when you get done, we're all fixed and we're all right. But I am asking you to say, Lord, I want to be at that place with You. Will You help me, Holy Spirit? Will You help me? Huh? Will You help me give more? Will You help me be more? Will You help me do more? I want to do it. See, He's already honored us. We're not doing things to receive His favor. We already have His favor because of what Jesus did. But I'm doing this. I'm trying to do this because He's already honored me. And out of respect and gratitude, I want to serve Him the rest of my life. I want to serve Him. And we all say that, but if we'll just let the Holy Spirit day by day, inch by inch, everything's a cinch, day by day, inch by inch, little by little, He brings us right into the place that we want to be. And we look back at the stuff we thought we had to give up, and then we look at what He's given us, and we go, whoo, no comparison. So I hope today that somebody, I said something that helped you. I hope today somebody says, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in. You know, more than anything else, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to enter into this place. More than anything else in the world, I want you to know Him. I want you to begin to experience some of this stuff that I've been talking about today. And I don't know, maybe there's somebody here and you've been coming to church and you've gone to church a lot in your life, but inside you don't know for sure that you're right. There's something in there. Won't you take care of that today? It's just a matter of giving Him your life. Not just voicing some words with your head, but giving Him your life. I give you my life, Lord. And I have to even say, Lord, I don't really even know what that means, but teach me. But I give you my life. Will you do something with it? Everybody bow your head. Matter of fact, everybody stand. And then bow your head when you stand. Stand first, because I don't want you to shut your eyes and get dizzy and fall down. Now shut your eyes. Nobody looking. Who in here, you're not for sure. You don't know for sure that you're right with the Lord. Nobody's looking. Just raise your hand right now. Just raise it and put it back down. You don't know for sure that you're right. Is anybody? Does everybody in here know? I hope so. Got one? Everybody in here is right? Anybody here, you don't know for sure. Who else? The only way you can know for sure is by faith. Don't let the devil keep telling you that lie, sir. You've asked Jesus into your heart, and when you did that and meant it, He made you the righteousness of God. But if there's somebody in here and you just know you're not right, but you didn't raise your hand, let me just pray this with you. If you'll just say this prayer to yourself here, kind of say it out loud. I want you to hear yourself say it. But if you'll say it, something will happen inside of you. As a matter of fact, we'll all pray it with you, because we all need to say it again too. Lord Jesus, You died on the cross for me. You took my sins away. I ask You to forgive me. I make You the Lord of my life. I'm giving You my life. Will You do something with it? I want to live for You. I need Your help. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for saving me. Everybody in here say, thank You for saving me. He says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. If you did that today, as we sing one song of invitation here, if you did that, come down. I want to give you a little book, give you some stuff to help you get on your way here and pray for you. But if you did that and you ask Him into your heart, you come down when we do this. Maybe you're here and you've done that and you came maybe today to be baptized. We got robes, towels, everything you need. If you need to be baptized, come on. Maybe you just need to be prayed for. You need somebody to anoint you with oil. Prayer of faith will save the sick. Maybe you just need somebody to agree with you about something that's going on in your life. We'll be happy to do that. So as we sing this one song, if you need to come, come. And hurry, don't hesitate. Tell Him He's good. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Can I let Chris talk with you, been in here and pray with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, keep that for me. Pray with this man. Let's get him saved first. Let's get him saved first. Isn't he wonderful? Tell him he's wonderful. Tell him you love him. perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Ooh. Woo, isn't Jesus wonderful? If you still need to come for something, come. We've got a bunch of us down here. We're ready to pray with you. If you're a first-time attender, I'd love to shake your hand, give you some information about the church. But right now, as you leave, I speak God's blessings into you. And I believe Him to do things, miraculous things in your life today and this week. I'm believing Him those areas of your life the enemy's trying to get you. I believe Him to prove Himself strong for you this week. Do you receive that? Say, praise the Lord. God, you're good. I receive it. Love you. Thank you for being here. Find somebody and bring them to church with you next week. I want the building full.